presenter today will be Tanya Martin and Nabil Khan. Now, Tanya Martin is a senior advisor for the informatics in the Office of Infectious Disease, OID. In this position, she serves as a principal informatics advisor to OID senior staff in the development, support, application, standardization, and integration of public health information and surveillance systems, as well as on the application of information technology to the collection, management, management of public health data. Previously at CDC, she served as the Informatics Senior Advisor in the Coordinating Center for Infectious Disease and as Informatics Director in the National Center for HIV, STD, and TB Prevention. Tanya has worked in public health for more than 20 years. She received her Bachelor from Science in Computer Science and from Bowling Green State University and her Master's of Public Health degree from Emory University. We also have Dr. Nabil Khan. Nabil is currently working at the National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Disease at CDC as Senior Informatics Lead. He has more than a decade of experience in public health informatics in the federal sector. His main informatics interests are in the program and portfolio management, information resource governance, and public health surveillance. He is a physician and holds Master's of Public Health from Johns Hopkins University School of Hygiene and Public Health and a Master's of Business Administration from Georgia State University. He is a graduate of the CDC Public Health Informatics Fellowship Program. So please help me welcome these two presenters.
Good afternoon and welcome, friends and colleagues of CDC. Glad you came to the presentation today. The point of our presentation is to kind of get you to think about where you are with managing your portfolio and what kind of time have you taken out to do performance management and look at the quality of your investments and how they're performing. So we'll do a little background first, but we want you to be thinking about your own portfolios while we walk through the presentation today. So what we plan to cover is a little bit about what is performance management. This was also covered at the lunchtime session in some degree, and we we'll also touch a little bit on how you measure your portfolio. We'll speak to who should be doing the measuring, and we'll also talk about why it's important to do performance measurement. So to get started, what is performance management? The first thing I want to say is this is not specific to CDC. It's not specific to government. Performance management is done across the board, private sector as well as public. It's also done outside of the IT arena. Performance management is basically executed whenever you have a group of investments that are tied together and really should be looked at from a quality perspective. So number one, this process is ongoing. So what we mean by that is you don't just do it one time, at the beginning or at the end. It's a continuous process that you should do over the lifetime of your investment. The next thing is when doing performance management, what we're looking at is the efficiency and the effectiveness of that investment and how your resources are being transformed into actual goods and services. So how we're taking that software, hardware, contractor time, and turning it into an actual system. That's kind of what we're looking at, the how. Last but not least, what we're really talking about is quality. So that's what performance management is all about. It's not how many systems we can develop, how many systems we have in our portfolio, how fast we can get something out, how many lines of code we have in there. It's all about how well this thing was developed and how well you executed that project. So that's what we're talking about. And really, the bigger measure is how satisfied are your customers with what you've developed. The other aspect of performance management is looking at the effectiveness of operations. So this kind of gets a little bit to the EPLC process, looking at how you executed that software development lifecycle. So that's kind of what we're talking about. So how do you measure performance? There's actually quite a few ways, and there are numerous tools and techniques, and we're not going to cover them all today. We just wanted to give you a few examples, some that are specific to the government, but also some that are not, that you can see the demonstration of. Some tools that you're using as a part of your EPLC process are also an overlap with traditional portfolio management practices. So we've listed the ones here that we're going to talk about in the presentation today. And I'm going to turn it over to Nabil to get started.
Okay. Thank you, Tanya. And again, as Tanya mentioned, these are just some of the tools which you can use for performance measurement. And there are numerous tools out there which you can research on of your own time. But mainly all these tools, if you look at the list, these are already available as part of the EPLC framework itself. And what we're going to do is we're going to just provide a very high-level overview. We're not going to dig very deep into these tools. So let's start with portfolio management. So just the definitions first. So what is a portfolio? A portfolio is merely a collection of projects or investments that are grouped together to facilitate effective management to meet strategic business objectives. And all these projects or investments in the portfolio, they may not need necessarily to be interdependent or directly related. Think of a portfolio when you're thinking about a portfolio, think of it like a whole pie, and the programs think them as part of the as the slices of that pie. However, if you look at this diagram or this picture, the projects themselves, they are the most basic unit in any of the portfolios. So if you're thinking, even if you're thinking about portfolio, the primary focus is still the projects which make that portfolio. So generally speaking, if your projects overall, they're doing well, your portfolio is in good shape. And portfolio management, it mainly deals with coordination and management of one or more portfolios that include identifying, prioritizing, authorizing, managing, and controlling projects or investments. And again, the one thing to highlight is all these activities, the focus is to achieve specific business objectives. So what is really the value of portfolio management? There are multiple ways, or there are multiple approaches that are available for portfolio management. And no matter what approach you use, multiple studies or research, they have shown that using a portfolio view is always provides some added value. This includes making your financial decisions regarding your IT resources based on risk, resource constraints, and also looking at the interdependencies between the investments. Again, there are multiple portfolio management methods and techniques that are available, and we have just listed five of those ones over here. The project selection methods, they merely deal with selecting the right projects for that portfolio that you are trying to create. Generally, there is not sufficient funding or not sufficient resources available to handle or to tackle all the projects, so you have to select the right projects for a specific portfolio. The example can be, your portfolio contain all the projects. One of the criteria for the projects is to at least address two of the five strategic goals of your agency or of your organization to be part of that portfolio. The other criteria you can use is, for example, return on investment. Every project in a portfolio has to provide at least 100% return on investment. That may be a criteria that you can use. There are also, once you select the projects, there still be a long or huge list of projects. You may need to prioritize those ones using some of the criteria or some weightage criteria that you can establish to prioritize those ones. The project governance techniques, these are mainly dealing with the information that is methods and tools that provide information for decision making to the leadership or to the management purposes. And if you look at EPLC and the whole information resources at CDC, this is one of the areas where more and more focus has been emphasized in the recent few years. And obviously, portfolio risk management tools, you need to also aware of those ones. They may include like SWOT analysis, your root cause analysis, things like that. So what are the steps in creating a portfolio? So the first, and again, this is taken from Gartner and just modified a little bit. The first step is always that you have to define your portfolio criteria. And this is mainly defining your initiatives and also evaluating those ones. You can look at the return on investment. Since CDC is a public health agency, we can look at the public health value of our projects. You can look at alignment to the enterprise architecture or alignment to the strategic goals. You can use some kind of risk scoring and also some kind of rating criteria. And once you define your portfolio criteria, then you actually start creating the portfolio itself by selecting the right initiatives. And you can use different thresholds and budget limits. For example, for earned value management, or now it's cost and schedule reporting, that portfolio, there is a requirement that the project or investment has to be over $1 million per fiscal year. So that may be one of the budget thresholds, for example. That can be used, interdependencies, when you are creating your portfolio. And again, after creating your portfolio, you move to the next phase and you start evaluating that portfolio. And the metrics that you can use is, again, earned value management is there, project management dashboards, IT scorecards. For example, you must, I think most of you might have heard about the federal IT dashboard, where it's again, which is available publicly. And the last step is the assessing your portfolio performance. And this portion should be an ongoing process where you are continuously looking at how you perform, how your portfolio is performing. So the next topic, I think most of you know, or at least or have been engaged and know about this topic, is earned value management. HHS requires that all the investments or projects more than $1 million submit a monthly EVM or cost and schedule report. And also, there is also a requirement for submitting a cap if the variance is more than plus or minus 10%. Or rather, now if it's 0% also, you have to to provide information on that one also. So what is earned value? Earned value is merely the amount of value that is claimed or earned when a segment of work is accomplished. And segment of work we define in earned value management is usually a milestone in our specific terminology. And earned value deals, earned value analysis looks at your project schedule performance. Also, if you are ahead of the schedule or you are behind the schedule, project cost performance, any kind of cost overruns. And both of these, they can also provide you information around how overall your project is doing over a period of time, because since you can, it's a constantly, continuously measure that you assess every month on a monthly basis, it can provide you overall the progress of your project also. EVM is a very integrated tool. It actually provides you a holistic picture of the whole project, and it again highlights the accomplishments at the milestone level. That is the requirement when we provide the reporting cost and schedule reporting, but actually you can even dig deeper when you are at the lower level of your work package level or work creating those earned value management reporting. It provides, as I mentioned, information on your project cost, your project schedule, and also it provides you, if you're continuously monitoring it, it highlights the variances at the early stage of the project rather than you find out that the project is in trouble at the later part of the game, which is always very difficult to go back and fix things. These are some of the I think questions that you need to start thinking about if by looking at the EVM data. For example, if your project is behind schedule, think about how critical is that. How critical is the schedule? Is that milestone on your critical path? Do you have any slack time available? How you can fast track your project? What is the impact of on the project cost in the long run? Because obviously, if you are behind schedule, there may be an impact on the project cost. You can fast track it. Can you do some tasks concurrently in parallel? Can you also look at your critical path and see if there is a way you can compress your critical path or make it shorter? And again, if the project is running over in cost, you can again look at your activities and tasks and see if you can compress the timeline. Is it in cost saving in that? Look at your resources, if there is any less cost resources available where you can save some money. And also look at the task, really take a very closer look at your task and see if any one of those tasks, they don't provide that much value that you can just get rid of them or delete them. And that can speed up things a little bit. With this one, Tanya will talk about the independent verification and validation.
All right. Another tool that you can use is something called independent verification and validation. And the acronym quite often used is called IVNV. So from a show of hands, who all here have heard of that, the IVNV? Okay, good. So basically, this is a very effective tool because it has to be independent, which means it's provided by an outside, unbiased perspective on the project. And the other criteria is the verification part is, are we building the product right? So the analogy here is looking under the hood. You know, it may look good from the outside, but once you open up that hood, you might get a little scared. And then the last part of it is validation, which says, are you building the right product? And in this case, you may have done an excellent job of developing it, coding it, and wrapping it up, but are there any users using it? So, you know, this is what the IVNV is looking at. The other biggest aspect is that it's completely executed by an independent entity who evaluates the work products developed by the project team, and they look at every aspect of the design and execution of that project. So the thing about this particular tool is it's very effective, but it's also very expensive. So it's usually done with large projects that can afford it. So that's the thing about that. So we wanted to give you another tool that you're a little bit more familiar with and that most projects can do those in operations and maintenance, and that's that AOA. So I know a lot of you may not have looked at the AOA as a performance management tool, but in fact, that's what it is. It's a look at that project and how it executed over the last year. When you're doing an AOA, you're supposed to be looking at, does the project still align to your program's strategic goals and objectives? So kind of like Jim Seligman said this morning, when you developed it 5 years ago, it may have been in perfect alignment, but now it isn't because things have changed. So during the AOA, you're supposed to be looking at that and verifying that it is still aligned to your center or program's goals. The other thing you're supposed to be looking at is the financial operation of that investment. You know, how much is it costing, and is it still a positive ROI or not? Again, like I said before, does it still align to your customer or your user's goals and their needs? And when we're talking about performance, we're saying, does it match up to the way that the program is going for the future? Or is it something that's a thing of the past? So we did quite a few applications that for several years, there was a perfect match to that application and what the program needed. But with a few reorgs and a few changes, nobody was really using it. And so you just got to, you know, ask those questions and give some honest answers and say, is it still being used? If not, maybe it's time to retire that. Basically, this particular slide is covering some of the same comments. Getting your customer to also be a part of that AOA so you can get their perspective and that the AOA is just not from an IT perspective. And the last two bullets, you kind of already know these are required as a part of the EPLC process. Okay, Nabil.
Okay, the next tool is the integrated baseline review. How many of you have been involved in any kind of IBR activities? Anyone? True? Okay. Believe it or not, this is part of EPLC framework. And the project has to go through IBR. It's a project review. If you're looking at those lines, it's part of the project reviews line. And then at the stage review, it parallels to your project baseline review for the stage gate. This is done at the end of your planning when you are pretty much, or rather, this completes your planning and before you move into your development phase. So this IBR, mainly its purpose is to establish your performance measurement baseline against which you measure the performance of the project, and it also provides the foundation for your EVM measurement or your earned value management system. And as it says, there is a critical link between the cost estimate and EVM. It's the word is integrated, so it's also the whole integrated project team needs to be involved in this. And it's not just a project manager is doing it by himself in the corner, or not just one sub-team of the project team. It's an integrated project a project team should be involved, including your business folks, your business partners in this. The GAO Cost Assessment Guide in July 2007, this is taken from there, and how they describe, like, why do we need to conduct an IBR, and again, its purpose is to verify the technical content and realism of the interrelated performance, budgets, resources, and schedules. And from their perspective, it helps the auditor understand the inherent risks in performance plans and underlying management control systems. And it should contain a plan to handle these risks. The real value of IBR is to know that the project has been planned in a manner that is realistic and achievable. It means that all the milestones or all the tasks of that project, they are very objective and they can be met. The timelines which are established there, they basically are in sync with those ones. As I mentioned before, in our federal sector, there's a requirement of submitting an earned value management report or cost and schedule monthly report. And again, IBR provides a basic foundation for those, that kind of reporting. Once you conduct your IBR, you should have your work breakdown structure defined. You should have your a baseline, obviously your baseline defined. You should have your risk, identify the risks for the projects, and you should have a risk mitigation or management plan. And also your earned value management plan should be ready to be submitted or developed. The benefits, again, management insight into the planning assumptions and the resource constraints of the baseline. For me, I also think that it's a great communication tool because all the major key stakeholders, they are involved. So if you have to sell it to your senior leadership, it's a little bit easier to get their buy-in since everyone is already involved in that. Comparison of expectations so that any differences can be addressed. And again, as I said, this also provides the platform to make sure that all the key stakeholders, they are in sync and there is no different assumptions or a different understanding of different project-related activities. Sorry, Mr. Hughes?
Okay, so I know as project managers, you're saying, yeah, right. But because I know your plates are full with the execution part of projects and with developing and maintaining systems, so you're saying, you know, why this extra task? But in reality, evaluation is an important step in the process. If you don't do it, you often get caught with, oh, my goodness, I didn't realize this, or, you know, I didn't realize that. And it's because you haven't taken the time to do that, look back, and see what's going on from a big picture view. So performance management is kind of like, you know, holding your head up, because most of you are buried down doing that project and getting those tasks done, and it says, you know, step up and let's take a look and see how things are going. And on this particular slide, at the bottom, the why is, it's really a federal requirement. Performance management is kind of mandated by the Clean Reporting Act and by GRFRA, but we wanted to put at the top the real reasons from a project manager perspective that you should want to do this. And what happens when you do performance management is you get data. Once you measure, you get data back. Some of it's good data, some of it's bad. But with that data, you can use it for a lot of different things. And number one, you can use it to demonstrate what a great job you're doing. That's number one, if that's what the data tells you. But it's a communication tool, like Nabil said, for you to talk with your program people and even your fellow IT staff on how well we're executing, you know, IT. And here's the data that shows that. At the same time, you want to see if some things aren't working right. And by doing that evaluation step, you can see where things are not going so well. So, again, you can divert resources to improve those pieces. So you really want to know as a manager what's working well as what's not working, so you can address that in a more, you know, proactive way instead of being reactive. And when you do performance management as a part of a repetitive process, you can be more proactive. The other thing it does is it promotes accountability, and in some cases it'll help you justify resources. So when I say accountability, if you have some investments that are not performing well, you know, as a manager, you should do something about that. Whereas before, you could say, well, I didn't know, I didn't realize. But if you take the time and look at it, you will know, and then that means you need to take care of it. So these are just some of the reasons. There are many, many others, but these are kind of, I hope, encouragers so that when you come back next year, you can say, okay, I tried that performance management thing and it worked, or maybe it didn't work, but we'll be looking here. But I hope you will spend some more time on this. And my, okay, so I thought that I might should cover who should be involved in this process. Number one is the project managers, and that's why we wanted to cover the topic at the summit today. This person is the lead in making sure that this happens. But project managers can't do it by themselves. You have to include your technical stewards, your business stewards, because sometimes in determining a value of an investment, you need others to contribute to that. So, as Nabil was saying, if there's public health value, you may not be the best person to interpret the complete value of that investment, so you need help. So basically, I was just kind of listing some of the other participants, and if you can kind of see the trend, you can utilize your governance process in your performance management process, so you don't have to feel like, oh, I'm doing completely two things. So you can kind of integrate those and use your governance members are the same members that look at your performance data and provide feedback and that are part of that process. Okay, so one of the reasons why we were invited was OID in the last year. We have started, after doing the governance process for a while, and EPLC actually producing some reports that will fall into this category, and so they wanted us to share you with you some examples. So Nabil's going to go through them. His team kind of takes the lead for producing them across OID and for his center.
And just So going back to a little bit back on those performance tools, some of these tools we have already been using. For example, we have a project where we are using IVMV. And to me, the return, I know there's an expense that goes with that, but the return that you get is huge. And it's not you are just looking for just the gaps. You are also looking for validation that whatever you are trying to achieve or whatever you're doing is correct or you're on the right path. As Tanya mentioned, some of the reports that we do, we have not included all the reports. These are very basic reports that we feel like we just included in this presentation. These are very basic reports that we run. And most of these data is already available in the ESC, and some of these reports you can just directly run from the ESC. So it's very readily accessible for everyone. One thing that we look at, as you can see in the OID, we have almost 179 projects or investments. That's a huge list for us. And it's really very difficult sometimes to keep like track of all those projects. And also to keep track of sometimes the programs, they have any IT-related activity, they just go sometimes in the ESC and start entering a project. And we just want to make sure that we capture whatever sort of OID-related activities in the ESC in part of our portfolio. So this just provides an overview of all the projects or investments that we have in OID. And you can just run it through ESC. It's very easy to do. This is a little bit more detailed report, pretty much same report. It gives us the numbers of systems in each of the national center. But again, it also provides us the dollar numbers. And we also divide it by extramural money. That money goes out to our public health partners versus intramural money. And just to look at, we also run it on a very frequent basis from the ESC just to make sure that we are capturing anything. And if there are any changes, then we start looking at those changes. Then we have processes and SOPs in place for any new entries in the ESC, but still there have been some instances where new projects or investments they were entered in the ESC without proper knowledge. This is one of the very simple reports that we actually share with our governance bodies or governance councils. This mainly provides us information or breakdown of the systems at the division level. We just shared it recently with our NCIRD Informatics Governance Council, three months ago. Again, one thing you have to be careful about this report is that it only provides the number of projects. It does not provide anything on the size of those projects. So one division can have more projects, but the level of effort might be lower than the other division, which may have one or two. This is, again, very simple. A lot of program, at program level, they are very interested in finding out about the funding, what type of funding or what type of budget allocations those are in there. So this is, again, you can just run it from the ESC very easily, very quickly. But one thing we also, in all of our reports, we keep the extramural aspect of things separate. Just keep a subset of it, because that's the money that goes out to the public health partners. And at this point in time, there is not that much close review of the extramural projects at this time. But more coming, because I saw some new guidance that came out recently, right, Robin, for the extramural projects. Again, we share this one with the with our governance councils. And this is a very simple report, just looking at how many supporting investments you have and do you have any technical or your major. We can do it by our OID OID level at center level, or you can even drill down further. This is our monthly report by ProSight entry. As you can see, the first column, it lists all the roll-up, all the investment in ProSight. And then the next column it associates the ESC project to that roll-up. And again, in ESC you can run this report. It can provide you very quickly the information. But we also run this report very often and compare this data with our ProSight entries that we have done or we have reported earlier. So we just want to be proactive in tracking all the changes in the ESC to make sure that when the next reporting cycle will come for ProSight reporting, we will have the information already available. This is for our StageGate review status. A very simple report. We just look at stage gates that the projects they have completed, not completed, stage gate remained, and also total projects. And we track it by, this is just an example, so we just track it by each of the stage gate reviews. There is another report which goes with this one, which actually provides how many stage gates they were, which projects actually, the list of projects that underwent the stage gate review last month, and what is the plan for the next month. And that is also one of the reports that is submitted to CIPIC, if I believe correctly. This is the actual Exhibit 53 report. This is the this report shows the actual data that gets submitted to OMB for all the investments. And again, this is readily available through ProSight and through ESC. And most of the times, your CIPIC managers, they have the access to run those ones. At project level, you might not have access to run these type of reports. But again, this report is also, I believe, available on OMB website, so you can. This is one of the EVM reports that we track on a monthly basis. It lists all the systems there which are reporting EVM data on a monthly basis, of cost and schedule reporting, and we track it for 3 months. You can see that, again, this is just a sample data example, and we don't use green color because if it's not red or yellow, obviously it's green. So all the red ones, they are the projects which have variance over plus or minus 10%, and also variance between 5 and 10%, they are yellow. We just track them over a period of 3 months, as I said. That provides us a little bit more information because it's different when a project runs into some kind of variance for 1 month. But if a project is running into variance continuously over a period of time, then there may be a need to take a more closer look at the project. And maybe you need to re-baseline, maybe if the scope has changed or some kind of basically some kind of activity that needs to happen. And again, this is a very small sample of and very simple reports that we run. We also run a report which have a drill down functionality, and it starts with can start with, for example, at the OID level. You can drill down to the central level, then you drill down further either to the division level, or either you can stay and at the roll up level and then go to the individual investment level. So that's kind of reporting we also do. But most of the times, the CIPIC managers, since they are more involved in the portfolio management, they are the ones who create or who work on those reports. And these all reports, they are readily available. Some of the reports, the project managers, they can also run through the ESC.
Okay, in closing our presentation today, basically we just wanted to remind you of tools and techniques that we know you're probably aware of but maybe just haven't had a lot of time to spend on. And in our current climate of competing resources, I think these are tools that you might want to look at because I think they can help you build the business case for your investment, or in some cases, identify places where you can move and adjust resources. And I think these are things that you're going to have to be looking at. Now, one of the things I wanted to point out in this report, but the fact that we take a look at it so we can see trends, as you can see, is helpful. But this one investment I want to go ahead and point out, what's happened here is the project strategy has changed. So a year ago, this investment had planned to do different things. And within that year, things have changed. And so basically, this investment has reduced the level of effort. But it's a strategy change by the program, and so it's reflected here. So this really is an accurate reflection. But at least we can explain why it's red. And you should be able to explain that, you know, if that was your situation. So these dashboards and the look ahead concept is very valuable. But so anyway, in closing, we just want to remind you to use the techniques of performance management as a tool for yourselves to demonstrate value of your investment, identify any issues that can be uncovered by looking at this data, and therefore make you better managers overall. So you don't want to just manage for the day, you know, the project, or, you know, the month. You want to be a little bit more of a robust approach to your project. And then that way, when somebody comes to you and says, well, we got to make a cut, you know, instead of saying, oh, I can't cut, you know, maybe you now have some data to say, okay, I know a couple of projects that maybe aren't performing as well as others, and maybe we can, you know, sacrifice those. But at least you will have some data on your side to bring into that discussion. And at the end of the day, the performance management concepts are actually part of established standards in the federal sector. So they're really not new concepts. And we wanted to try to show that buried in the governance process for CDC and the EPLC, these tools are there, so you can just kind of pull them out and use them. And we wanted to restate that CDCUP, a lot of the templates and stuff are there for you to use. So some of the reports that we developed or that we're using, you can get to from there as well. So with that, we want to say thank you. We hope that this was useful, and we will now open it up to any questions that you may have.